Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message. Good morning. Hey, we are in our summertime sermon series here entitled The Bible Stories, From Failure to Redemption. So again, if you missed either of any of the last few weeks, you can check that out on our podcast. You can find that on our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com. But in this series, we're looking at some of the stories in the Bible. Maybe they're stories we learned when we were in Sunday school, or maybe they're stories we've heard about. But we're looking at these stories, and we're looking at these figures in the Bible and how they dealt with their flaws. How many of them had issues? How many of them had struggles, but yet God was still able to use them? And what's amazing is I think that many of us can relate to these Bible figures in more ways than we know. See, we look at them and we think they had them all together, but if you dig into their stories, the truth is many of them had struggles. Many of them were a mess. Many of them would even be considered failures. But what we can learn from their stories is this, is that God turns failure into redemption. And God turns our failure into redemption. God turns our failure into recovery. God turns our failure into salvation. And if you remember last week, we looked at the life of Joseph and we learned that God's plan always lies within God's timing. And we talked about how Joseph was the son of a guy named Jacob. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of Jacob. And the account of Jacob is found in Genesis chapters 25 through 35. So today we're going to summarize the life of Jacob. So just so you know, there's going to be parts of this story that I'm going to kind of miss. But I would challenge you to read through the story of Jacob this week. Make this part of your reading plan. Make Genesis chapters 25 through 35. Write that down and make that part of your reading plan. Again, I want to challenge you to read your Bibles every single day. There's incredible stuff inside the Bible. There's amazing stories. There's things that you wouldn't even believe is inside. There's incredible things in there that can change who you are. And there's so many truths in there. If we can apply them to our life, then it will make us better. So again, I want to challenge you to jump in and to read your Bibles. We do have free Bibles here. We have a New Testament, New Believers Bible in the back. If you don't have a Bible, please pick one of those up. But I also challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's a free app that you can download onto your phone. It's a free app that you can download onto your tablet. And there's actually reading plans, there's devotionals, and you can get different versions of the Bible on that as well. So download the YouVersion Bible app. Jump in and read your Bibles. Okay, let's go in and let's look at this. Look at the account of Jacob, which is found in the Old Testament. And again, the Old Testament is the biblical account of history before Jesus, where the New Testament really shows Jesus' life and the early church as well. In the Old Testament, it's the beginning chunk of the Bible. And the story of Jacob is found in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. It's found in Genesis chapters 25 through 35. And if you remember last week, I stated that Jacob's name was also Israel. So the story of Jacob is this, is that a whole nation came from Jacob. The whole nation of Israel came from Jacob. Jacob was the father to many sons, and God completely blessed Jacob to become an entire nation. And when you hear that, you might be thinking, man, Jacob must have been some type of saint. Jacob must have been pretty much perfect, right? But the truth is, just like you and I, Jacob had some issues. He had some struggles in his life. In fact, the very meaning of his name showed that he was going to have a battle within him. The meaning of the name Jacob means this. It means trickster or supplanter. His very name defined him as someone who is going to take the place of another through scheming, through planning, through trickery, through deceit. See, Jacob started life with a label. And now today, again, when you walked in and you were handed a label. Now, this may have been a little bit weird for first-time guests, but bear with me. This isn't what we do every Sunday, but we gave you a label today. And this label had dealt with some type of struggle. For some of you, they have a label. Maybe they have the label of a drunk. Maybe you walked in here and you got the label of an addict. Maybe you got in here and you got the label of an adulterer, a cheater, a thief, a liar. Right? We had all these different struggles that we put in. Today, we gave you a label. And it seems pretty messed up that we did that, right? I mean, how weird was it during meet and greet time when you saw somebody and had the name tag of a drunk, an addict, an adulterer, a cheater, a liar, a thief, had that up there, right? How weird was that? How bad do you want to tear that label off? Well, if you would bear with me, keep that label on for now. But think about that. Think about how that label feels. Think about how that label feels, how you wear that, what that makes you even feel like when people look at you, when they read that, how do you feel? Maybe for some of you, this feeling kind of hits close to home. Maybe this feeling's almost all too normal, right? Maybe you've felt this way before. Maybe you even feel this way now. This is how I think we can relate with Jacob. And this is what we're going to talk about today, because Jacob started his life out with a label. See, Jacob was a twin, and he's the second twin born, and he got his name because when he was born, he's holding the heel of his brother Esau. In fact, Genesis 25:26 states this. It says, when the second baby was born, he was holding onto Esau's heel, so that baby was named Jacob. So Jacob started out with this. He started out with a label that identified him with a struggle, a personal issue. Something that made him feel probably even like a failure. He started out life with this burden to overcome. And if you look at his life, the truth is he didn't overcome it well. The truth is many times he fell into this burden. Jacob and Esau, see, they grew up, and like many siblings, they had many differences. See, Esau was the firstborn son. He was basically his dad's favorite. He was a man's man. He was his father's boy, right? Esau was an outdoorsman, and he liked to hunt, and he hunted wild game that his father loved to eat. So Esau and his dad were close. Now Jacob, he was the second boy, and he was kind of a mama's boy. He liked to stay inside. He liked to stay close to the home. He liked to take care of the home. So Jacob was kind of, it was his mama's boy, right? He wasn't his dad's favorite. In fact, he was the second son, so he wasn't going to get any of the blessing. He wasn't going to get any of the inheritance that was going to come with him. So one day though, Esau was hunting, and when he came back from this hunting adventure, he was extremely hungry. And he came inside, and Jacob had some soup brewing. Now Esau begged Jacob to give him some soup. But instead of just making him a bowl of soup like a good brother probably should have, what Jacob does instead is he decides to work up this plan, and he makes a deal with Esau. He says, if I give you a bowl of soup, then you need to pay me the rights as your firstborn son. See, again, at this time, the firstborn son would have the rights to all the family's wealth. It would have the rights to the inheritance if something would happen to the father. And the Bible actually talks about how rich their dad Isaac was. It says that he was extremely rich. He was so rich that even the Philistines envied him. So here's Esau. He's the heir to this great amount of inheritance, this huge, just this blessing, this firstborn rights, right? He's going to have all this, but he is so hungry. He figured he's going to die. So what does Jacob do? He tricks him into selling his firstborn rights for a bowl of soup. And Esau takes him up on the deal. So here's Jacob, and he lives up to that name. He lives up to that label as a trickster. He gains the right of the firstborn son. Instead of being just a good brother and taking care of Esau when he was hungry, he tricks him into giving his rights. So if you look at Jacob so far in his life here, he's not winning against that battle. He's not breaking that label. He's living up to it, and he actually doesn't get any better because Jacob continues to trick Esau. You see this again when their dad Isaac is old and he's on his deathbed. Isaac is so old, he's so sick that he can't even see. And one of his last wishes was to have a good meal, right? Like most men, he just wants to eat some good food before he dies and calls it quits. So what he does, he tells Esau to go get an animal. He says, go out and hunt some wild game, prepare it, and then make it just the way I want to, and then I'll eat it, and then I'm going to give my blessing to you, Esau. See, again, the firstborn would have the rights to the wealth of the family, but they also had the verbal and the spiritual blessing of the father as well. So what Esau does is he goes out and he hunts for some food. Meanwhile, though, Jacob puts a plan together. See, Jacob's mom, Rebecca, heard Isaac tell Esau to go into the fields and hunt. And then Rebecca told Jacob about this, and then they plan a way to steal the blessing from Esau again. So Jacob, what they do is they get a couple of the best young goats in the field. Then Jacob has his mom prepare the food just the way Isaac likes it. Then Jacob takes it to his father to eat. But the crazy thing is, he not only does that, but he not only goes behind his brother's back, but he also goes at great lengths to even to trick his dad, to deceive his dad. See, his older brother Esau was a hairy guy. So Jacob, what he does is he makes this plan up to make him feel like he's hairy as well. He takes the skins off the goat and he puts them on his hands and his neck to make him feel hairy. And then he also puts Esau's clothes on Jacob as well. See, Jacob takes Esau's clothes because Esau had a certain distinct smell. It's probably a combination of BO and like outside field. But this is how Esau smelled. So Jacob took his clothes so he could smell like that, right? And then Jacob goes to his dad and continues to deceive him. And he even rambles off a series of lies that he told his dad in order to steal the blessing from him. If you look at the dialogue here in Genesis 27, 18 through 24, it's full of lies. Verse 18 says, Jacob went to his father and said, Father. And his father said, Yes, my son, who are you? Jacob said to him, I am Esau, your first son. I've done what you told me to. Look at him. He's lying right there. So he tells him, says, Now sit up and eat some meat of the animal that I hunted for. Then bless me. Jacob isn't Esau. Jacob didn't even hunt for that animal, but he continues to lie to his dad. His dad in verse 20 says, But Isaac asked his son, How did you find and kill the animal so quickly? Jacob answered, Because the Lord your God helped me find it. There's another lie, right? Then Isaac said to Jacob, Come near so I can touch you, my son. Then I want to know if you are really my son, Esau. So Jacob came near to Isaac and his father. Isaac touched him and said, Your voice sounds like Jacob's voice, but your hands are hairy like the hands of Esau. Isaac did not know it was Jacob because his hands were hairy like Esau's hands. So Isaac blessed him. And Isaac asked, Are you really my son, Esau? And Jacob answered, Yes, I am. Another lie. Look at that. Jacob told his dad these blatant lies. He deceived him. He deceived him to the point where his dad believed him and blessed him. And then right after he blessed Jacob, Esau rolls in with the hunted game. Esau is all proud of himself. He's ready to receive that blessing. But Isaac looks at him confused, thinking about what just happened. He figures it out and he tells Esau, I just gave your blessing away. I was just deceived by your younger brother, Jacob, and I just gave your blessing away. And obviously Esau's upset, right? So he begs Isaac for a blessing. He says, Man, father, don't you have anything left? Don't you have something for me, right? But Esau completely blessed Jacob, gave all his blessing away. And then Isaac basically tells Esau, Man, your life it's going to be a struggle. You're going to have to work hard for everything that you're going to get. So obviously here's Esau. Tricked, deceived, had his blessing stolen, had his inheritance stolen from him. So Esau is extremely upset with Jacob. It says he even hates Jacob for this and he wants to kill him. So Esau makes these plans to kill him and Rebecca learns these plans. And then Jacob tells Jacob, he says, it's better to lay low for a while. So she sends Jacob off to one of her family members' house, a guy named Laban who lived in a town called Haran. So Jacob leaves town, flees, because Esau is so mad and wants to kill him. And while he's on his way to Haran, Jacob had this dream. He had this dream about this ladder coming down from heaven with angels going up and down it. And then he sees God at the top of the ladder and God tells him that his descendants will be as many as the dust of the earth. And that basically this whole entire nation is going to come from him and God is going to be with him throughout it all. Now I'm going to stop right there for a second, because to be honest with you, I really don't like where this story is going, right? I really don't like this story. Here's this guy who's a blatant liar. Not only that, he's lying to his family, he lied straight up to his dad. He lied straight up to his brother. And he's stealing from his brother. And this is the guy that God chooses to build a nation from. This is the guy that the Israelites all come from. The whole nation of Israel, which is defined as God's chosen people throughout the Old Testament. It comes from a liar, comes from a cheater, it comes from a thief, right? I think we hear this story. And I think one thing we can learn from it is that God's heart is completely different from ours. See, we see this guy named Jacob who's labeled a liar, who's labeled as a thief, and it's a struggle that he deals with, and he often falls into it. And for us, I think it's hard to forgive him. It's hard for us to look past that. Now, I might be speaking for myself, but really, it's almost one of those unforgivable sins in my mind. I think we view forgiveness as overlooking the wrong, and when somebody lies to us, we can't overlook that. In our minds, it's hard to decipher the difference, but God can. And God turns failure into redemption. And we see this through the story of Jacob. Because the truth is this, to God, lying, deceit, theft, failure, all those things to God are still forgivable. And God was able to still use Jacob. And he's able to still use each and every one of us. And he does this because he desires a relationship with us all. If you look at Jacob, here he has this dream that his descendants will be many. And that God will be with him, this dream that God is going to be with him the whole time. But what happened here is this. This dream, I think, led Jacob to make a commitment to God, which I believe is what God was after the whole time. God was after Jacob's heart. He wanted Jacob to make a commitment to him. So he reached out to him and he met him in a dream. Genesis 28 verses 20 through 22, it talks about this commitment. It says, then Jacob made a promise. He said, I want God to be with me and to protect me on this journey. I want him to give me food to eat and clothes to wear so I'll be able to return in peace to my father's house. If the Lord does these things, he will be my God. This stone, which I have set up on its end, will be the house of God, and I will give 1/10 of all he gives me. Here's God reaching out to Jacob. Reaching out to Jacob, and Jacob makes a commitment. I think we see this here as how forgiveness leads to relationship. Forgiveness is, it's not overlooking the wrong, but it's the bridge to overcome the wrong. Again, if you look at Jacob, God was able to use him. God was able to restore him through Jacob's commitment to him. But Jacob still had consequences to those actions, right? Jacob still had to leave his homeland. He still had to travel to the land of Haran, where he met up with his uncle Laban to hide out. And while he was there, Jacob had to find a wife. And when he gets there to that land, he finds this girl named Rachel, who's the daughter of Laban. Laban and Jacob, they work out this deal where Jacob would work for 7 years in order to marry Rachel. So Jacob works for Laban for 7 years, and then he asks to take Rachel as his wife. So after 7 years, Laban throws this big party. Basically, he gets Jacob completely drunk. And instead of sending Rachel to Jacob's bed that night of the wedding, he sends his oldest daughter, Leah. When Jacob wakes up in the morning, he realizes that he's been tricked. He realized that it was Leah and not Rachel, and he immediately goes to Laban and asks, what's going on here? Laban explains to him that in their land, the older daughter must marry first. So Laban tricked him, had him work for 7 years. He could have told him that at the beginning, right? But he had him work for 7 years, then tricks him on the night of the wedding. So Laban strikes up another deal with Jacob, saying that you can marry Rachel in a week, but after that week, you're going to have to work another 7 years to pay for Rachel. In the end, here's what happens. Jacob worked for Laban for 20 years, 14 years to earn Leah and Rachel, and then another 6 years to earn some flocks. What's crazy is that Jacob, he was on the other end of being tricked, right? God took him to that place. He moved him out, pushed him away from his homeland, and allowed him to be tricked for 20 years. And during that time, though, God still worked through him. God still worked in him. And God even continued to bless Jacob because Jacob had many children and he grew the flocks. And then finally, Jacob was able to run from Laban. He ran away and escaped from Laban. Laban chased him and caught up with him. And then they basically made an agreement to never pass a certain point of land in order to hurt each other. And then Jacob continued back to his homeland. But while he's going back to his homeland, he realized the pain he must have caused Esau. So before he went back there, he sent messengers to Esau to let him know that he's coming back, but he's going to give him a gift of cattle, of donkeys, of other flocks, of servants. He's going to give him this gift really as an apology, really showing that man, just asking for forgiveness. So when the messenger gets to Esau, Esau jumps up, gets his 40 men, and he comes to meet Jacob. This obviously scares Jacob. So what he does is he divides all his people. He divides all his animals into two camps, thinking, man, if Esau destroys one, maybe the other group can flee and be saved. But he still wanted Esau to forgive him. So he sends his servants with all the gifts to go ahead of him and to plea for forgiveness. And that night, why he sent his servants ahead of him, Jacob found himself by a river, and he found himself wrestling with this man who came up to him in the middle of the night. And what's crazy is this. In this story of Jacob wrestling with this man that he's wrestling with is God. God showed himself directly to Jacob. God showed himself directly to a sinner, a liar, a thief. And it's interesting too, when God showed himself, it was at the time where Jacob was pleading for forgiveness. It was at the time where he was willing to go make things right. And I think when we ask for forgiveness, when we're willing to go make things right, God shows his presence. When we ask for forgiveness, when we are willing to go make things right, God shows that he's there to redeem us. And I love this story here in Genesis chapter 32, verses 25 through 28, where Jacob is fighting and wrestling with God. Verse 25, it says, when the man saw that he could not defeat Jacob, he struck Jacob's hip and put it out of joint. Then he said to Jacob, let me go. The sun is coming up. But Jacob said, I will let you go if you will bless me. And the man said to him, what is your name? And he answered, Jacob. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name will now be Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with people, and you have won. Look at this. In this moment where Jacob is pleading for forgiveness, in this moment where Jacob is ready to make things right, God shows up. And then Jacob wrestles with God and begs for his blessing. And what's amazing is this. God gives Jacob his blessing. God gives Jacob's blessing so much so that he even changes Jacob's name. His label, that identity of being a trickster, of being a deceiver, that label of being somebody who steals something from others, that label is now changed. God took that name of Jacob, that label, and he redeemed Jacob and now called him Israel, which Israel means one who strives with God. His identity is now changed to mean that one who makes great efforts with God. The one who's going to achieve something great with God. The one who's going to obtain all that God has for him. And I think this is an incredible story of redemption. And this can be our story as well. If we look at this, one thing I think we can grab from this, the one thing we can grab from the life of Jacob is this, is that we are not defined by our struggles. We are not defined by our struggles. And that's the good news. The good news too is this, is that we don't have to run away. We don't have to hide for 20 years. We don't have to wrestle with God, because God has already chosen to redeem us through Jesus Christ. In fact, we are defined by Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross, was raised again to redeem us and to define who we are in him. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone belongs to Christ, there's a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new. Now I want you to do something. I want you to take that label that you received when you walked in here. Whatever it had on it, whatever struggle was on there, I want you to rip it off of you right now. I want you to tear it up. I want you to wad it up. I want you to crinkle it up, because that label is trash. Because you've been made new in Christ. You are a new creation in him. That label is meaningless. You are not defined by your mistakes. You are not defined by your struggles. You are defined by God through Jesus Christ. And the truth is this. We should have never put that label on you in the first place. You should have never put that label on. Because I don't have the right to label you. The greeter at the front door doesn't have the right to label you. And your past doesn't have the right to label you. The only one who has the right to label something is the manufacturer, the owner, or the purchaser. And God made us. And we belong to him because he purchased us through Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, you should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit who is in you. You have received the Holy Spirit from God. So you do not belong to yourselves, because you were bought by God for a price. So honor God with your bodies. The truth is, we can't even label ourselves. Only God can label us. Only your creator, your purchaser, and your owner can label you. Who are you allowing to label you? What are you defined by in your life? Is it a past sin? Is it a broken relationship? Is it the fact that parts of your life are a mess? Maybe your finances are a mess and you're allowing that to label you and to define you. Is it a lie that you were once told, or a lie that maybe was even told about you? What are you defined by? I think far too often we let our struggles define who we are. Far too often we are labeled by our mistakes. But understand this and get this. We are not defined by our struggles. We are not defined by our struggles. Now imagine. Imagine what our lives would look like if we truly lived this out. If we didn't allow our past to affect our future. If we didn't allow our struggles, if we didn't allow our issues, our past mistakes to define us. Imagine what that would look like. Think about that in our life. I believe relationships would be restored. I believe our confidence would be restored. I don't think we wouldn't be able to walk any longer crippled by fear or anxiety. When we allow God to define us and not our struggles, man, it's a game changer. When we allow the one who created us, the one who owns us, the one who purchased us to define us and allows us to follow his perfect plan for our life. He's the only one who has the right to label us. He's the only one who has the right to define us. Let him redeem you by letting him define you. And if you go back to the story of Jacob, I think you see this in his life. When he goes back to his brothers, this is right after the time where he asks for forgiveness, where he's ready to make things right. And he allows God, he wrestles with God, asks God to bless him, and he allows God to define him. Man, this is what happens in his life in Genesis 33:4. It says, but Esau, his brother, says, but Esau ran to meet Jacob, put his arms around him and hugged him. Then Esau kissed him and they both cried. Look at that. In that moment where Jacob is now defined by God as Israel, his relationship with his brother was restored. And God continued to grow the family of Israel. He continued to grow Israel into a nation. God showed Jacob that we are not defined by our struggles. What are you not experiencing in your life because you're believing a lie about yourself? What are you missing out on because you're allowing something else to define you that's not God? And how can you change that? How can you apply this statement to your life? If you look at it, I think Jacob, he lays some groundwork for us to follow. If you watch his life, the first thing he did, and he was defined as a deceiver, right? He was defined as somebody who's a trickster. But his first step to getting over that was commitment to God. I think we need to commit to God. Jacob's first step was making that commitment to God. We see where Jacob messed up. He lived up to his name, where he deceived his dad, where he deceived his brother. Now he's on the run and he was about to experience all these consequences of his actions. And he realizes that he needs help. And then God shows up to him. And then Jacob makes a commitment to God. Again, in Genesis 28, 20 through 22, it says, then Jacob made a promise. He said, I want God to be with me and to protect me on this journey. I want him to give me food to eat and clothes to wear so I'll be able to return in peace to my father's house. If the Lord does these things, he will be my God. This stone which I have set up on its end will be the house of God, and I will give God 1/10 of all he gives me. Jacob made a commitment to God. And what do you need to commit to God in your life? What's an area of your life that you need to hand over to God, to allow him to work in, to commit to him? I think we need to make a commitment to God. The second thing is easy. The second thing is this. We have to accept the consequences of our actions. The truth is there are consequences to our actions. If you look at Jacob, he had to leave his homeland. I believe he even had to experience the feeling of being tricked as well. His father-in-law tricked him into working for 20 years, but I believe Jacob learned something very valuable here. I think he learned the pain that he caused others. Now understand this. Redemption doesn't mean there are no consequences. Redemption does mean that the penalty is not as it should be though. So when we make a mistake, there's still consequences. There's still things that we have to walk out. But because of Jesus, the penalty is not as it should be. We need to learn from our mistakes. We need to accept and experience the consequences so that we can better ourselves. And we need to allow that to move us to asking for forgiveness. Now, there's some consequences to your actions that you need to accept, that you need to stop running from, and that you need to accept so that you can move to this other one where we can ask for forgiveness. And the third thing is to ask for forgiveness. Again, Jacob went back to Esau. And he tried to make the wrong right by giving him wealth. Jacob did this as an act of asking for forgiveness. Is there an area of your life where you need to ask for forgiveness? I think in order for our struggles and our failures not to define us, we need to ask for forgiveness. And then finally, we need to ask God for his blessing. God is a good God. God's got amazing plans. For you. He's got amazing plans for me. He's got amazing promises for each one of us. And he wants to be a part of it. He wants us to ask for his blessing. But we have to ask. Again, in Genesis 32:26, it says, Then he said to Jacob, let me go. So the sun is coming up. Jacob said, I will let you go if you will bless me. My prayer today is that God blesses each and every one of you. But we have to ask. So let me challenge you. Don't let your struggles define you. Don't let your mistakes define you. Don't let your failures label who you are. But instead, commit to God. Accept the consequences of your actions. Ask for forgiveness and ask for God's blessing.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.